Good afternoon, everybody. How are we doing today? Woo! Today is Palm Sunday, yeah? Palm Sunday. Do we even know what that is? It's the day where Jesus entered into Jerusalem on a donkey, and gotta add that in there. And people were waving palm branches as like a sign to basically welcome him as a king. So it's really cool. And then next week, we'll talk about Easter, but that's next week. You guys better be there. So you're probably wondering why I'm wearing a jacket. I'm a little cold. I don't know. I came here on my motorcycle. Just want to make that clear. Some of you might have seen a video that surfaced of my dad riding one. It's not his, okay? It's mine, all right? I paid my own money for it, all right? It's in my name. It's mine, all right? It really is a dream come true. For those of you who went to our church camp, you guys know that drive all the way to church camp. I remember growing up as a kid, I would always see motorcyclists kind of like cruising along, and I always, ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to do that. So yeah, dream come true. Well, I have yet to drive there, but I got, you know, one big step. Yeah, sweet. That's some news. Another news, my iPad. I couldn't find my iPad this morning, funny enough. So I'm going with the old school. Yeah, Yilisei, where's Yilisei at? He knows. The dude always rolls up with some paper. I think he laminates it too, which is crazy. Yeah, this is just paper. All right, so what am I talking about? Today, I'm going to talk about surrender, which I don't know if that's something Sveta was thinking about, but I wanted to also open up with a little bit of my personal story and what led me to bring this up as something to talk about with you all. Growing up, I had everything, right? I grew up with an amazing family, grew up Christian like all of us, right? Like 98% of us grew up in a Christian family, right? Every testimony starts with that. But growing up, like any one of us, right? When we're born into this world, right? When we're little children, like this tall, right? We're perfect, right? We are just pure and spotless. And we're just, every time someone looks at us, "Ooh, you're so cute." And then you're just like, okay. But how many of us know that doesn't remain forever, right? We're not always perfect like we are as a little kid, at least to ourselves and maybe even to those around us, right? We have imperfections, right? Partly because as we live out this life, we start to pick up things, right? We start to grab onto things. And as we go on about our lives, we accumulate things that some of it is, while it can be good, you know, like I look at how my parents respond in like moments of stress, right? And all this stuff. And I see how triumphant they come out of it. And I think to myself, yeah, I want to do it like that, right? I picked up something good. However, I'm in high school and someone makes a joke, you know, at me and maybe gives me a backhanded compliment, right? And I'm like thinking like, what does that mean? What does that mean, you know? And then from those times as teenagers, right, when we're, you know, neither child nor adult, we're in this transitionary gray period of our lives, we're like, what the heck am I? We start to ask ourselves questions like, who am I? What am I doing with my life? What is going on, right? Part of me reaching to that point of surrender had to follow up with me letting go with a few things, right? And I feel like that's a lot of us in this room, right? Before we surrender, there are things we need to let go of. But looking at my life, I was an honest, good-hearted church boy, right? Followed all the rules ever since I was a kid. Always did so because, God forbid, I get yelled at, I'm gonna cry, you know, I'm gonna, you know, it's bad. I was one of those kids where I was afraid of just to just get yelled at, you know, like I would just do good just so I don't get yelled at, you know? But oftentimes looking back, God showed me, pointed a scripture to me about the rich young ruler, right? How many of us know about that story? The rich young ruler. Most of us do. For those of you who don't, let's turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 17. You get bonus points if you got one of these. Yeah, I'm looking at all of you guys over here. Yeah. You guys there yet? All right, verse 17. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Sound familiar? Verse 21, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, that you will have great treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." Verse 22, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. Right? A lot of us, I feel like, I'm not the only one here, right? I feel like we all can relate to this story. We follow all the rules. We follow all the commandments since we're young, right? Yet we still come to God and ask, "What do I have to do? What else is there?" Right? The simple solution, surrender, right? Because that was the rich young ruler's fault at that moment. That was where he lacked, was surrender. Because that is where what it would have taken him to the next level in his life and to actually like experience the eternal life for what it really is, to lay your life down, to surrender your own will and give it to God, so that peace, security will reign throughout the rest of your life. Doesn't that sound great? But why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? Because here's the thing. Surrender isn't just a one and done type of thing, okay? It's a progressive thing that we have to do every day, maybe even every hour, every second of our lives. Because just like in leadership, right? You never just arrive, you know? You never just, I'm there, I'm here, here I am. There's nothing else to learn, there's nothing else to do. I've arrived and I am perfect and I'm just sitting waiting for Jesus to return, right? That doesn't exist, I'm sorry. There is always something for us to either let go of, to surrender, to give it to God, right? Something. What is it? I don't know for you, but I know for me. There was a lot of things, and I would like to go over a few things, right? Things that we might relate to. And if this is one of you, great, this message is for you. If not, then great. Hopefully you got something. But I want to speak to those who might be holding on to a few things, right? And maybe leading up to this moment. What was that? Maybe leading up to this moment, this is a sign for you to finally put those things to an end, right? But like I said, before we surrender, a lot of the times we have to let go first, right? Because to surrender is to yield to an uncontrollable force, to stop everything that you're doing, to actually come to an agreement that I can't do it, I can't do this, right? Like what I would imagine why we raise our hands up like this during worship, right? That's what I always thought. I don't know about you guys, maybe reaching to something, but for me, it was surrender, always. Because just like if someone points a gun at you, you're just like, you know? And you can't, and whatever that person tells you, as long as they got that thing pointed on you, you do it. You do it. Because God, I'm not trying to get shot, you know? But I'm not trying to compare following the will of God to getting a gun pointed at you, okay? That's not it, all right? Maybe for some of us, but that's not what I'm trying to get. What are some of the few common things we have to let go of? Relationships. Oh, man. I'm talking to all the young people here. I've been there. Don't worry. Maybe there's someone you're holding on to. You got to let go. Okay? Insecurities, right? How many of us, raise your hand if you have an insecurity, right? What? Wow, we're all perfect? Wow, great. Okay? I'm raising my hand too. Come on. We all got them. Doubts, right? We all got doubts, right? Maybe for some of us parents in here, you're doubting your ability on how you should raise your parents, or you're doubting your effectiveness at raising your kids, right? God wants you to let that go. Give it to him, right? Fear, another thing, fear of the future, fear of failure, right? Very common, very common. For all of us perfectionists out there, fear of failure. Pain and unforgiveness. See, those are the last ones, the best for last. All right, there's some big ones, some big boys, right? Unforgiveness is a huge thing you do not want to mess with. You really got to let that go. Whatever that person did to you, you got to let go of it. It's not yours. It even says in the Bible, it's so scary when I think about it, but when we've refused to forgive others, God does not forgive us. That's scary. That's so scary. So that is why we forgive, because he forgave us. We're not perfect. Yeah, it's gonna take you maybe a few tries. You're gonna have to repeat it over and over and over again. But the end result is to let it go and to surrender it to God, because only then will you be free of whatever it is, the pain that that person caused you. Whatever it is they said, whatever it is they did. Because they don't know, most likely. When someone causes you pain, they don't, most likely, most of them don't even know it. But you're living stuck in that pain and you're holding on to it. And God wants you to let go of it, because in order for you to feel peace, in order for you to actually sleep at night, is you gotta let go of it. You gotta surrender. Right? Jesus painted a beautiful picture of surrender, right? Let not my will be done, but yours, right? At the end of what he knew was his life, the littlest bit of, like, not getting all those Roman soldiers coming at him, he's at the garden, his homies are sleeping, and he's thinking to himself, sweating blood, right, which is an actual medical condition of in extreme amounts of stress, yet he still went against what his body was going through, and he just submitted himself to God, because that is the only way he could actually do it. The only way he can get to where he wants to be, where God wants him to be, is he had to surrender, right? Why is it so important that we do this, right? I want to give a very practical example. Like sons and daughters, right? We're all sons and daughters here, yeah? We all must submit to our parents, right? You live in there under their roof, you listen to their rules, right? My dad tells me to take out the trash, I take out the trash. It tells me to clean up the litter, cat litter, I clean up the cat litter, right? Tells me to go get something, bring church supplies to the building, right? I go ahead and do it. And I don't hesitate and I don't question it, because if he's my father and what he's telling me, and he's telling me to do something, I listen and I don't question it, because in order for me to have that father-son connection, I have to submit myself. I have to come under. I can't come over and be like, well, why don't you do it? You got a free day to, you got a day. No, stop it. If you're doing that with your parents, stop it. Okay. Honor your father and mother and it will be well with you. It is the first commandment with a promise, right? I look at all my friends that from high school, right? I go on Facebook periodically, you know, because that's where you go to look at all your old friends, right? And man, oh, sheesh, you know, and I catch up with a few of them. I message them. And most common factor is mom and dad left, mom, whatever. Some parental issues, even with some friends that I was close with growing up. You know, I noticed there was this something was off, you know, when I would hang out with them and their parents were near, they would talk back. And I would think like, man, if I did that, I'd be dead. I can't talk to my parents that way. That ain't how we do it. But it's a promise because God is in that promise. Same thing with God, right? In order to get something, anything from him, we have to come underneath his glory, underneath his greatness, to take it on for ourselves, right? Not as our own, but as his. And we treat it as our own, but we recognize where it comes from, the greatness within us. But only through surrender, submission, and letting go do we actually get there, right? Another example, right? My dad doesn't know this, but I keep a picture of, you guys remember the story of the Porsche, right? So for those of us who don't know, growing up, my dad had a, what was it? What year was it? It's like a 1970s Porsche 911 Targa. Like it's in this picture, right? It's a picture of him cleaning it, right? He's got the baggy jeans. He got the bag swag. Man, I respect that. But part of his story was he loved this thing so much that it became a problem. He loved it so much that it became a problem for him. And God told him to let it go, to give it away, right? And I remember as a kid, I loved that thing. I love this car. And I honestly, it still hurts to this day because I remember when we first opened our second services, he shared this story, right? For those of you who were there. And I remember hearing that message and I actually felt it again. Because when I was a kid, he got rid of it. I was like, what happened? What'd you do with it? And he's like, oh, I gave it to Jesus, right? And I was like, as a kid, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, what does that mean? Like Jesus getting, I just imagine Jesus getting into the car and just driving up into the sky. Like what? And I remember being so mad at him for it. I didn't talk to him for, days? For weeks? Couple weeks, yeah. I didn't talk to him. And I was so, and when I heard that he was gonna give this to me as an inheritance, at that, a year ago, I got a little bit more mad because this would have been mine. This is my dream car right here. For those of you who don't know, I love Porsches. So I got a little bit, I was like, ugh. But this is an example, right? For those of us who know the story, who know that, right? Sometimes we add things into our lives that become a problem, right? Things on the surface are great. They feel awesome, right? I just got a bike, you know, which is my dream. But I remember getting it, right? And I'm praying about it, like, God, do I do it? Because it's a pretty serious thing. It's pretty dangerous driving a bike. Those of you who drive a bike, it's pretty dangerous. It's very scary. And I remember like telling God, like, if you want this, if this is okay, just let it happen. But if not, just make it impossible, right? I always pray these things over many important big decisions in my life. I always ask God, if this is yours, make it happen, okay? Please. But please, please, please. But if it's not, get rid of it. I don't want it. I don't need it. Because if it separates me from you, I don't want it. Because all I want is Jesus, right? More than anything, right? Like even being up here, like I could not do this, honestly. I just want Jesus, which is why I'm here, you know? Funny enough, I was never the type to do stuff like this, but because I let go of all of my insecurities, all my fears, all my anxieties, and that feeling of receiving Christ into my life for the first time, it was more than just a feeling. Right, I remember being baptized in, what was it, 2018 at a youth camp. man, those photos were so, oh man. I was like, yeah, like screaming like my head off, because for the first time, I truly let go of whatever it was that was holding me back, right? I still can't articulate it, but that it was more than just a feeling. It was, I knew that my life will be forever different. And all I want is Jesus, more than freedom from sin, right? More than freedom from pornography, more than freedom of fear, doubts, insecurities. I just wanted Jesus. You have to want Jesus more than you want to be free from whatever is holding you down. Because it's not about taking something out, right? There's sin in my life, right? Instead of just tearing that sucker out and just throwing it away, that doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. To get it out, you have to put something in. And then it works its way out. Just without even you even thinking about it. Without you even like, you know what I mean? You guys know what I'm talking about. It's hard for me to explain because I felt it, but it was more than just a feeling. But I'm glad you guys resonate with that. So it's like I have this dream bike in my possession, but I know that if anything happens, I have to be willing to let go of it at any moment when God tells me to. And that's scary because it's my own dang money put into it. It's like all this effort, all this dreaming, months and years and months. It's like, and if I get carried away, I have to get rid of it. Like, oh my gosh, I can't be obsessed with it. But luckily I have a fiance that I'm allowed to be obsessed with, you know? Another thing, a fear of mine, right? Is, like I said, I have a fiance, right? And she might get mad at me for saying this, but my fiance is a type 1 diabetic, right? I love her more than anything, right? But that fear of man, I want to have kids with her, right? Some really cute kids, you know, just mwah, amazing kid children, right? But the fear of our future children contracting type 1 diabetes. It's real, right? Or anything, right? It's real. It's scary. However, I remember telling this, sir, we've had this conversation and it's just funny because I just don't care. I don't care because I just want her, and whatever it is that is holding me back, I give it to God, right? He'll take care of it. And even if, amen. And even if they get it or some other type of autoimmune disease, I will love them all the more. If I have a child who has it and a child who doesn't, I will love them the same, because God is good forever and ever and ever and ever. And He will do miracles in that child. And whatever it is that they're born with, that it might be a disadvantage, it will always be an advantage for their hearts. Right? I love this idea of when we're born with lack in this world, when we're born with a crooked leg, or we're born in poverty, or any of these terrible things, right? It creates an advantage for us in our hearts to see God, to know God, right? However, when we were born into this world with everything, all the money in the world, the rich, rich family, lots of money. It's a disadvantage for our hearts. It really is. Like, think about it. Do you really want to be rich? I know it's probably a scary question to ask, right? I'm like, I don't know you guys, but most of you, but for me, I don't want it. Like, the thought of me doing this and getting paid for it, it's scary because I don't want money to get in the way of my relationship with God. I remember sharing it with my dad. Like, my dad has a global ministry. He goes out and into different countries and people bless him. And I told him, I was like, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want to go away from home. I just want to be here. I want to be here. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be up on the front row crying on my knees. That's all I want. I don't need anything else, because everything is in Him. Amen? Amen. It's all we need. All we need is Him. No amount of money, no amount. Funny enough, when Jesus compares, you cannot serve God and money. Why is it the only thing that Jesus puts next to God is money? Why is that? Because when you have money, when you have all of these things, you don't need God. I remember looking at one time, looking at my bank account, and I'm like, man, this is the most money I've had in a long time. And I felt it, that conviction of like, man, part of me was like, this is it, I'm good. But then I felt that deep correction and conviction of like, Jesus asking me, well, do you need me? And I was like, you know? Without him, there is really nothing to boast about, truly. He is the only thing that is truly good in this world. The only reason why I'm even doing this is for him. Come on, I'd rather just be sitting with all you guys, watching my dad. But I'm here because it's God's will. Trust me, I've wrestled with this a lot. You know, and I don't know. It's nice, I guess, you know, but like, get a drink of water. I'm thirsty. So back on surrender, right? For those of us here in this room who, and I want to leave space at the end for to call people forward who don't just, I don't want you to just feel like surrendering your life. I want you to know, because when you, trust me, if you're thinking, if you're sitting right now and you're thinking, do I need to surrender? What do I need? That's not for you, okay? You're fine, okay? But if you're sitting in this, you're sitting in your chair or you're online and you're thinking, I have to surrender. This is the only way. I want you to listen closely. Right? And I don't want this to be a three-step tutorial on how to surrender, right? That's not what I want to do. But one thing I want to describe is what goes on inside of us when that moment happens, that significant moment occurs when we realize we are at the end of our path. We are at the end of our own will, of our own lives, right? Because I remember thinking, it's like, man, If I wanted, and this is part of my testimony too, right? Funny, kind of a silly thing, but I was addicted to video games, right? My pops knows, right? I was upstairs my teenage years, 16 hours a day, just come down once for food and come back up and just whatever. That was a really, that was a thing of mine that I had to let go of. And it wasn't until I realized that I was at the end of it. I did all the things. I've did it for so many years, and I was just like, I remember coming downstairs. Both my parents are watching TV, they're just chilling. I'm like, what is the point of all this? What is this? What am I doing with my life? And then they're just like, I'm pretty sure they were just smiling, like, haha, finally. For a lot of us parents, trust me, if you have a kid who is in that or doing something where they're just gone, it feels like they're gone, trust me. They have to find their way. They have to reach. They're on a path like I was, and I had to go and reach towards its dead end, right? I had to go to its dead end to finally see it for what it is. There's nothing there, right? All my life chasing this, there's nothing there. And then that's where I turn my life around, and then that's where my life actually starts, right? That's a lot of us when it comes to surrender. We reach the end of what we thought is possible with our own lives, our own will, apart from God, right? We see it, it's a dead end. We turn around, and then then our lives actually begins, right? Amen? Right? One thing we have to remember, right? We are not in control, yeah? Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails, right? Like I said, there is before we meet God, we have an idea of what our lives would look like, right? For me, it was a veterinarian, right? I wanted to castrate cats for a living, apparently, right? And here I am, great, right? But God's plan prevailed, right? Because whatever it is that I was doing, I reached its dead end, and I finally agreed that this world has nothing for me. Jesus, hello. right? If you're holding on to something, if you're going somewhere where you know this isn't yours, trust me, God will tell you. God will knock on your door. He won't force you out of it because you have free will, first of all. If you really want to, you can do it for the rest of your life, right? If you think that makes you happy, great, go for it. Prove me otherwise, okay? Prove me wrong. But Jesus is the only way. He is the only way. He is the truth and the life. There is nothing that can give us peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, like Jesus, right? And we all want that. We all yearn for that. That's why we always come to God and ask Him, what do I need? What do I need? What do I lack? Right? Another thing, right? That was actually step two. But step one is spend time with God in His presence, right? Because before we even like really surrender, before we even let go of anything, when we spend time in His presence, there is no ego. There is no pride. There's nothing, none of that. It's only you and Him. And He's showing you everything when you're in His presence. You are in Him and He is in you. You abide in Him and He abides in you. And from there, you have everything inside of you to do His will, to do what is right and what is good in your life and in your children's lives and so on and so forth, right? Spending time in His presence does more good than any of this, right? But we still do it anyway. We're still here. You're still here. Great. Thank you for that. But His presence is everything. His presence is a person. It isn't just a feeling, right? Another thing, when we come to that end, right, of our own will, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to have a deep understanding of our own lack, right? I remember reading this in a book, the tension between understanding God's perfection and His glory and our own sin and our sinful nature is humility. When we have a deep understanding of these two things, His holiness, His goodness, His glory, and our sinful nature, right? We have a complete understanding of humility. That is where true humility lies, where I can do nothing outside of Him because without Him, I am nothing. And He wants me and I want Him. And that's where I can exist, truly exist. That's why Matthew 5 says it perfectly, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right? To be poor in spirit is to be lacking and to understand and know where the solution is, right? When you're poor in the spirit, you know God will bring you up out of it, but you also have an understanding that, man, I'm so weak without Him. Right? Another thing is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand, right? Peace that surpasses all understanding, right? Ask God simply enough. It's so simple. It's right there, right? I remember growing up at this church, so many conferences, right? Awesome. I love a church that has conferences, like two a year. But I remember always altar call after altar call after altar call, just giving my life to God over and over and over. And I didn't feel shame for doing it. And if I did, I knew that wasn't God, right? Because shame and conviction are two different things, right? Shame is like, you're bad. You should feel bad. You should, right? Conviction is you were made for better. You were made to do great things. You're better than this, right? One is God and one isn't God, right? Which one do you think it is? The Lord will only convict you, never shame you, right? But I've always felt that conviction. I'm like, why am I always here? Why am I always in this place? Because I remember thinking to myself, and that first time I realized that was at the, like, after so many altar calls, right? You know, every time a speaker comes here, they call people forward and lines and piles of bodies come at the front. You know, you're sweating, you're tired, you're hungry, but you just, oh, God is so good. Oh, he's amazing. That was me every time, right? But it's a good thing, because surrendering is a progressive act. And I remember the Holy Spirit revealing that to me, and I felt so much more at peace, right? It wasn't that I was just so frustrated with everything, and I was just such a bad person, and I needed to give my life again. It was more of like God was correcting me every single stage of my life. And when a speaker, you know, would come here, they would share something, I would feel moved and gripped with the conviction of I could be doing better with my life. And every single time I raised my hand and I went on my knees and I prayed and I gave my life again and again and again. And that's what it really looks like for all of us, is that it's not just a one-time thing, but it's something, you know, obviously when you give your life to God, from before you were a Christian, right? Or before you actually gave your yes to God, right? There is your entry subscription, right? I guess you can call it, right? Into heaven, right? But then there is more. There's so much more eternity after that. But once you get there, you're there. Awesome. You're saved, right? But then there's more after that. There's lots of giving up and letting go and giving it to God every single time, right? Because like, you know, a big thing that happened was, you know, yeah, I got a girlfriend, and that came with a lot more issues than I had when I was single, right? And then I got engaged, and that brought up more issues than when I was just dating her, right? So like, as we progress in life, don't neglect the fact that you still have things you have to let go of, you know, no matter how old you are, right? I have kids, right? No, there's no doubt in my mind that I might have doubts in my ability to raise my children. There's no doubt in it. I probably will have some type of recollection of, man, am I doing a good job? I don't feel like it, you know, but then that's where I go to my closet. I pray to my Father, and I hear his voice. Yes, you are doing amazing. I'm so proud of you. Right? And then I step out and I feel great again, right? Every single time, right? Without question, without fail, right? This is what I want to explain to you, all you people, beautiful, beautiful people, is that you're never far from needing to surrender, okay? So here's what I want to do. If you've never said yes to God, if you're listening to me and you're thinking, I need to give my life away because I want my life to never be the same, I want you to stand up. If this is your first time, right? I don't want you to do it because you feel like it. I want you to do it because you know that you need this. Going once, going twice. Okay, good. We're all in. That's awesome. That's amazing. Okay. Awesome. Next step. Okay. If there is something, if you're in this room and you know that there is something that you're holding on to, right? Maybe you've been thinking about this for a while and you're like, maybe it's an idea. Maybe it's something that's been causing you a lot of doubts or trouble, right? I want you to stand, right? Not because you feel like it, but because you know that in order for me to be with God, in order to be closer with God, I need to let this go. And if that's you, I want you to stand up. Going once, going twice, going up there. Nope, okay, good, we're good. All right, then I guess that's it. Everyone, let's stand up, let's pray. Let's get some music, keyboard or worship pads. I like those. Those are great. Oh, even better. Thank you. So maybe there's not something that you need to let go of right now. But I just want to pray right now that God, if there is anything inside of us and we don't know it yet that we need to let go of, Lord, I ask that you just reveal it in their hearts, Lord. I ask that you even reveal it to my heart, Lord. Lord, that in our future, when something happens that causes us to stir up, that causes us to stumble a little bit, Lord, I just pray right now that you meet them where they're at. Whether it's in person or online, Lord, I just asked for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, a fresh renewal and understanding of the depths of your love, of your glory, of your grace and your mercy, Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your blood. I thank you that your blood is more than enough to cover the multitudes of sin in our lives. That there is nothing that can separate you from us and us from you. That the work on the cross, it is finished and it is done. There is nothing else to be added or taken away, Jesus, because you are enough. Jesus, I just thank you right now for every person in this room, for every heart. Lord, I just release hope right now into anyone's situation, whether it's physical or financial, Lord. I just speak peace. We just plead the blood over every single person in this room. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we recognize your presence in this place. It's not a matter of inviting you because you are already here, but about recognizing your presence. Thank you, God. You are a good, good Father. We bless your name. Amen.